We find ourselves tonight. Next week is Awana. I want to remind you about that too. Don't forget the next week we'll begin that in our ministry. We find ourselves tonight in the fifth chapter of this book, and we are not going to finish the book tonight. Matter of fact, it will take some time to get through verses 16 to 28. There's so much meat there, even though the verses are small and you may know much of them. There's wonderful truths for God's child, and I'm not going to rush through that. There's no reason to rush. I want to make sure that we get what God would have us to do. But we have been looking at this wonderful church at Thessalonica that the Apostle Paul, God used to start, and how that it had been flourishing and growing in the Lord, and they had a little bit of difficulties that they needed answered and some questions that came back. And so Paul has sent them this letter in response and trying to help them understand. And really and truthfully, the number one dominating problem in the church was that people were dying and they thought that they had missed the rapture and the rapture was a little bit confusing to them. And I a little bit think from the passage tonight that we'll be studying that there was some false teaching that went on. And I don't necessarily mean false teaching that would be per se anti-Christ. I just mean I think there was some confusion. And I think there were some people that were teaching that may not have had authority to teach in the church. And so I'm not sure that they were teaching right. And there was some confusion. So we pretty much covered the rapture in the last part of chapter 4. And again, the first 11 verses of chapter number 5. And we finished last week there on the 11th verse where it said, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." And Paul is gripped under the inspiration of the Spirit of God here with the thought of together and edifying one another. And he's got a unity mindset here in verse number 11 that is inclusive of the church. And he really continues that mindset in verses 12, 13, 14, and 15. And I'd like to read them to you, and then we'll have our lesson. He said, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you." Those words "over you" are very, very important. You ought to highlight them or mark them. This deals with the leadership or the authority, that the line of authority that's inside the church. He said, "I beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them," and he's going to give a list of the type of people that are in the church. So in verse number 12 and 13, he's dealing with the leadership of the church, and mostly the pastor here. And in verses 14 and 15, he's dealing with the lay people of the church. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men." So in verse number 14, you've got three categories here. You've got an unruly, a feeble-minded, and a weak. There's an address to be patient. Verse number 15, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves," which would be in the church, "and to all men." Now, when you understand and continue in the context, and by the way, let me just say that there cannot be a value that is measured that can be attached to context. Context is vital when you read the scripture. Context is vital when you try to make application. It's imperative that as you sit down and you read God's word and you read a verse, that you read the verse within context. If you take a verse and jerk it out of context, Once you've jerked it out of context, you can make it say whatever you want it to say. The whole Bible can really be twisted to say whatever you want it to say. We find this in our political realm right now. Right now you have commercials and talk news and radio and all this, and they're all looking for one sentence or this or that that they can get a sound bite from. And a lot of times they'll jerk a one sentence or one phrase or a couple of words, and they'll jerk it completely out of context and make a sound bite. And then when you go back and you listen to the context, it's not the same impression that you get from the sound bite. And so you got to be careful about that. You don't want to trust and rest on soundbite Bible reading. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You want to understand the context. So you're always mentally engaged. You always are knowing the previous chapter and the next chapter and where you are. So inside the context is a church that is struggling a little bit when it comes to the truth. There's some confusion there. There's some misunderstanding there. There's some questions that are arising. Now there's not all bad. There's some good, and Paul's encouraged by that. But within the context of trying to secure this church, he says, I need you to learn how to deal with the people. And the first way I'm going to secure you is I'm going to teach you how to relate to the spiritual authority in the church, those that are over you and those that are admonishing you. And so really in verses 12 and 13, he's reminding them that there is a line of spiritual authority that God puts within a church. And he's encouraging them to do two things with this spiritual authority. By the way, look at verse number 12. It's authority that has power. It's over them. It doesn't mean, in one sense, yes, we're all equal in the Lord. But in another sense, inside a church, God does have a line of authority. So everybody that's out here tonight, nobody is an island unto themselves inside this church. All of us have somebody over us. Okay? And so now the reason Paul is teaching them this is because he's trying to secure them in their understanding. He gives them two responsibilities in this line of authority. Look at verse number 12. We beseech you, brethren, what's the next word? Know them. Know them. Circle, know them. That's so important. It was the church's responsibility to know the spiritual authority over them. That word know is the word recognize. And by the way, your spiritual success really hinges on you recognizing spiritual authority that exists over you. Spiritual people will recognize spiritual authority. Now, carnal people won't. Weak people may not. But spiritually strong, spiritually successful people recognize spiritual authority. So Paul is letting all churches know, not just Thessalonica, he's letting all churches know that we have a responsibility to know and recognize them. Now look, if you would, at verse number 13. Not only are we to know them, but we're also and to, what's that word? Esteem them, all right? Esteem them means to hold them in highest honor. He says, now, when it comes to this authority that is over you in the Lord, you're to recognize it and you are to esteem them. That is to hold them in the highest honor, very highly, in what, class? In love, all right? In love. So the spiritual authority and the leadership that is over you in the church, you're to recognize it and you're to esteem it very highly in love. Love, not just duty. There's one thing that duty can call to valor, and duty can be something that is honorable. But there is a difference between serving out of duty and serving from a motive of love. Now, if you get somebody that understands love and duty, you got a great soldier there. But just because somebody is ordered to do something doesn't mean that their heart is in it. Paul's not telling you to esteem the spiritual authority out of duty and just do it. No matter, he's telling us to do it with a heart of love. Why? Okay, look here. Look at verse number 12. Verse 13, it says, for their work's sake. Well, what is the work of the spiritual authority inside the church? Look back up at verse number 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And they do what, class? Admonish. Now, this class, this part of the class is good and awake. This part of the class back here, you got to stand up and sing Father Abraham. Because we're getting ready to like walk around the building or something here. Because I get answers here. Everybody back here, you're either, I don't know, some of you are glowing, so you got something electronic. And some of you are doing this. And so, I don't know. So if you're back there, wave to me. Okay, great. Wonderful. All right. So let's, now everybody go back to the Bible here and look at verse number 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and do what, class? Admonish you. So that word admonish is the word putting you in mind. It is that person taking your mind and filling it with God's word. And the Bible says that when the authority or anybody takes God's word and puts your mind to God's word, you are to love that person. And by the way, you ought to love the person that is biblical with you in your life. And so Paul's saying, now, I got this little church over here, and you guys are a little bit all shook up. I need you to know who's over you? Who has the spiritual authority? Recognize that. I think there were people that were trying to have authority that didn't really have authority. I'm going to show you that in just a moment. And Paul says, now recognize them, esteem them, lift them up in your thinking. I mean, put them as top notch and love them because these people are working to take your mind and put it on the word of God. And so Paul's setting that little church straight that there is a line of authority. Now, there is a line of authority, and I want to show you in a church the line of authority and how church authority works so you understand and so you there's unity and peace here. Put something in 1 Thessalonians and go, if you would please, to Acts. Acts chapter number 20. Kind of a different Bible study tonight, but I think it's one that's really needed. Paul's teaching this church on spiritual authority. And by the way, I think one reason that our churches are so weak and watered down anymore is because we don't understand spiritual authority inside the church. Now, let me show you the line of authority that God has for the church. If you look at Acts chapter 20, and you look at verse number 17, the Apostle Paul here has called a meeting. He sent to Ephesus and he called the elders of the church. In the Bible, the word elder and the word bishop and the word pastor all point to one man. The pastor is the bishop, the elder, and the overseer of the church. Come down to verse number 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. He's talking to the pastor here. And to all the flock, that's you, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you, say that word, overseers. All right, overseers. So inside the church or inside the flock, at the line of authority, the Lord Jesus has set the bishop, the elder, the pastor at the top line of authority inside the church. Well, pastor, who does that? How come the pastor gets that kind of authority? Who gave you that kind of authority? Why do you get to say that? Look, if you would, at verse number 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and do all the flock over which the, say those two words, Holy Ghost hath made you. Okay? So the church, the pastor has been set as the overseer. It's not the pastor's idea to just be the overseer. The Holy Ghost has set or given the authority for the pastor to be over the church in the line of authority. So really and truthfully, and I'm going to show you in just a moment, that to have authority, you have to be under authority. Paul's teaching this little church over here. Now, guys, recognize how authority comes down. Understand the chart of authority. Recognize who has it. Then esteem them. And so when it comes to the organization of a church, the pastor is at the top of the line of authority. Well, Pastor, I thought you and the deacons were equal. No, I don't. The deacons are not on an equal level with the pastor. You don't have to agree with that. You just have to understand the Bible. All right. It's not where pastor and a deacon share authority. No. The deacon is the word minister or servant. A deacon is to serve. They're to wait tables. They are to care for the widows. They're to do that kind of service work. Never is a deacon referred to as the bishop, overseer, or pastor, and they're not referred to as the shepherd. And they're not at the line of authority. They're under the authority of the pastor, and they are a wonderful blessing and support and counsel, but deacons and pastors are not equal in authority. Okay, so if you think that, you got to go back and read your Bible. Now, as the overseer of the church, everybody really receives authority from the pastor. Now, I am your pastor, but I could not be your pastor tomorrow. God could take me home. You get a new pastor. So I'm preaching to help you with your next guy and me too. So smile a moment or two. All right. So how does that work, Pastor? Okay. This is how this works. Devin stands up Sunday morning to sing a song. Under whose authority does she sing a special? She sings under the authority of the pastor. She doesn't have the authority just to say, and nobody else does, we're going to sing this Sunday. And so you just walk up and you say, Pastor, sit right there. The only person that ever has the authority to walk up here and tell me to sit down is Brother Gary Collier, because usually that means he's going to give me a check with money in it at Christmas time. And I sit right there and he moves me right away. So that's not a problem. So just like in your job, authority can be delegated. And so I delegate authority to Brother Reuben. So if you teach a Sunday school class in this church, you don't teach that class on your own authority. That's not, you're not teaching because you have just a right to teach. You're teaching because Brother Reuben has allowed you and offered you and given you authority to teach. Where did he get that authority? He got that authority from the pastor. When the choir sings or somebody sings a special, they don't sing what they want to sing. They sing under authority. When you teach a preschool class, you're not there just on your own. You're there under the authority of the leadership that God has set up in the church. Why is that so important? Because our God is a God of authority. And when you step outside of authority as an island unto yourself, you're dangerous. Law enforcement in here. The only reason a law enforcement officer has any authority is because the state gave it to him. Sometimes you meet a police officer and he thinks he's God. And as long as he's got the badge and gun, I call him Lord. Please don't give me a ticket. All right? But if the police officer, if they take his badge, he no longer has authority. Why does he have authority? It was given to him. It can be taken away. All right? So why are you teaching us this, Pastor? Because I'm going to show you in a moment how important this is in your life to understand what I'm talking about. So Paul says, recognize and esteem. And there is a line of authority. And God set the pastor as the overseer of that. Well, Pastor, does that make you a dictator? I'm so glad you asked that question. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. Come on, this is good teaching. You'll need this one day. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Well, Pastor, are you is the pastor kind of an island unto himself? Does he not have a check and a balance? Well, I do have a check and a balance. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at verse number 4. The Bible says, and when the chief shepherd shall do what? Appear. Okay, the pastor is an under shepherd. The Lord Jesus is the shepherd of the church, and we would say amen to that. Okay, so one day the chief shepherd is coming, and the under shepherd who I am, I'm going to have to give an account to the chief shepherd. And let me tell you something. You think about that. Think about that a second. The pastor has to answer to the Lord Jesus on how he led Christ's church. Don't think that doesn't ring in my mind constantly. So look at the instruction that God gave me as the pastor. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verse number 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort. He's talking to me, Tom Hunter, pastor of Plantation Baptist, whom also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ. Verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. That means it's my responsibility every time you come in this building to give you God's word and to feed it to you. Do you understand what kind of responsibility that is? Do you ever get tired of eating at the same restaurant over and over and over again? If you go to McDonald's and you're sick of McDonald's, so you go to Burger King, get sick of Burger King, and then you go to Wendy's, you're sick of Wendy's, and then you go to Subway, and I hate Subway. It should be against God's Bible to go to Subway, but you go to Subway, and we get sick. Do you know what kind of pressure it is to be fresh in the pulpit every time I stand up here? If you ate the same thing spiritually every time you came to this church, you'd get sick of it. Think about that. And I don't necessarily get a manual like the Sunday school teacher. We give the Sunday school teacher what he's supposed to teach. Nobody gives me a manual. I got to dig it out of this book. And by the way, this is precious to me. But you try to preach 3 times a week, every single week of your life, and be fresh and anointed and have God's power. That's not easy. So feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Look at verse number 3. Neither as being, what's that word? Lords. I'm not your dictator. I'm not your Lord. The pastor does not have a right to run a dictatorship. I'm not a lord. I'm the pastor. So Paul's or Peter's teaching the preacher, don't be a dictator, but be, verse number 3, an ensample to the flock. So when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So understand that the pastor's not a dictator, and the pastor better understand he's not a dictator. You may have come from a church where the pastor acted like a dictator. Listen, I know I'm not a dictator. I don't try to dictate what you do, and you don't have to organize your life as far as according to what I say. And I don't like to meddle in those affairs, but you do have some responsibility to the pastor. Let me just read you some verses. Go to Hebrews, if you would, chapter 13. Everybody in here needs to read Hebrews chapter 13. Come on, turn and go. It goes back to your left. Hebrews chapter 13. Let me just show you. You might not know this. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 7. Here's this phrase again. Are you there? Yes? No? Okay. Remember them which have the rule, say it, class, over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose, say that word, faith do what? Follow. Considering the end of their conversation. Now that conversation is not just their words. That conversation is the manner of their life. So, Paul's setting in this church this authority that they're the line of authority and the leadership that's over them. And he's saying, now know it and esteem it in love for the work's sake. The work's sake is that they take your mind and put it on the word of God. That ought to be precious to you. And then the writer of Hebrews picks up and says, now, if the pastor is over you and he's preaching unto you the word of God, you may not have to live your life the way I do, but you are to follow the faith that I follow. Really? How many faiths are there in the Bible? Does anybody know that verse? One Lord, one faith. So you, as God brings you into membership of a church and you come under authority of the church, the leadership of that church that preaches you God's word, you are to see and judge their life. And you are to kind of organize, maybe not the way I do my whole life, but the same faith that anchors the way I live my life ought to be the same faith that anchors the way you live your life. Now, finish this verse with me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So if the pastor or the leadership's faith is based on the word of God, yours is to be also. Now, here's the pressure that's on a pastor. You're to judge my life. Do you understand what that means to me? Go if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Hold your hand. No, yeah, hold your hand in Hebrews. We're coming back. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is good teaching on a pastor. Amen, Brother Tom. That was really good. Okay. All right. I know you love me. We're going to get to that greet each other with a holy kiss here in a moment. Look at chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, verse number 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now, in the next verses, I'm reading to you how my life is to be directed. A bishop then must be blameless. That means there can be nothing about my life that inhibits blame. The husband of one wife. You know, I believe, in our church believes, that means if you're divorced, you can't be a pastor. Matter of fact, we believe the same way about a deacon down here, the husband of one wife. So the pressure on my marriage is huge. I have a wonderful wife and a wonderful marriage, but you're to be able to look at my the way I live with my wife, and it's to have impact as to whether or not I can be your pastor. Let me ask you a question. If we knew if everybody could see your marriage, what would it be like? Keep going. It says, I got to be vigilant, sober. I don't have a problem with that. Of good behavior. Do you know what? That means I've always got to be on good behavior. Let me give you an example. I'm in Target. What's funny about being in Target? I go to the counter. There's a lady in front of me. She's annoying. And I'm about ready to just say something in my flesh a little bit loud, something like, man, people are never ready with their money, you know, this or that. And I'm telling you, it was like somebody grabbed my mouth and clamped it down and I couldn't talk. And I thought, usually Beverly does that, but it was. And I said, okay. I promise you, the lady went on. I walk up to the counter. Target has that little red thing. I put my wallet down. I never made eye contact with the lady behind. And she looked at me and she went, hi, Pastor Hunter. I said, who are you? She said, I'm so-and-so. I come to church. I said, are you new? No, I've been coming for months. really, I didn't recognize you in your non-church clothes. I didn't know what to say. Good behavior. If you saw me with my traffic finger going down the road, or you saw, listen, there is a pressure on me that's not on you. Keep going. Given to hospitality. That means I've always got to be hospitable. That means every time you say, can I see you a minute, no matter how busy I am, I try to stop. And that means no matter how long I got to sit at a desk and listen to somebody pour their heart out, I'm hospitable. If somebody asks me for something, I have to be hospitable. You can just not RSVP. Nobody gets upset with you if you don't RSVP. Let the pastor not RSVP. Oh, I can show you some of those notes. Apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, patient. I'm not to be a brawler. I'm not allowed covetous. Now look at verse number 4. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Look at verse number 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Do you understand that my home has to be so ordered that it's not allowed to be shameful to the church? And the way I order my home is whether I'm allowed to be the pastor of this church or not. Your home doesn't carry that weight. The pastor's home does. So, Pastor, why do you say all this to us? Go back, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 17. What's the first word of verse number 17? Obey. We hate that word. Obey them that have the rule over you. And do what, class? Submit yourselves. I didn't say this. We're reading the Bible out loud. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for who? For you. So there is, you are under spiritual authority. And inside a church, the line of that authority is the Lord Jesus, is the head of the church. He has an under-shepherd who is the pastor of that church. And then the pastor is allowed to delegate authority. There's deacons, there's teachers, there's servants, there's this, there's that, there's all of that. And so there is a line of authority that we are to be conscious of. And I tell you that to tell you this, it's a heavy burden. It's not one it's not one that I stand up and beat my fist and say, I'm the pastor, do what I say. It's one that I carry the weight of the responsibility that God has put on me. And I want you to know this. I want to be a faithful pastor to you. I love you. But you need to know that if your pastor comes to you with the word of God, you have a responsibility to obey that direction and submit to it. And that ought to mean something to you. Pastor, do I got to run every decision by you? No. No, please don't. Are you going to tell me whether to drive a Ford or a Chevy? No. But I'll tell you this. I have the right to tell you that it's more important that you tithe than you drive a nice car. And your pastor has the right to come and tell you that, hey, I see this in your life, and the Bible says this right here, And I'm challenging you on that because I love you. And instead of getting angry at the pastor, you're to esteem me. I like that verse. In love. In love. Now, you also, I'm a brother. So you also have the right. Pastor, I see this in your life. Do not think for a moment that just because I stand above you that I think I am above you. I'm nowhere near above you. And there are times when godly men in my life come to me and say, now, Pastor, you said this. Did you really mean this? And you said this. Is that the direction you... And man, it smites me in my spirit. And I go back and I fall on my face and I ask God, God, forgive me for that. But Paul's trying to secure this church, and he's securing them with the thought of authority. And our church will be secured under the thought of authority. And God's people said, all right. Now, I preached so long on that I don't have time, so I'm going to stop right there. But I'll pick up next week with the rest of them. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I just want to show you a direction where he's headed here. Look at verse number 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at, say it, church, peace. Now, how many small business owners do I have in here? Could you raise your hand? You own a business. Look at all the hands. You have employees. Probably in your business, the time that your business, and Brother Dave and others, that your business is at the peak of peace is when everybody is operating in and under authority. You let one employee think they don't have to be under authority, and the whole business gets out of kilter. Most of us that are employees, we go and you have a realm of authority. You step outside that realm of authority and you're going to either be disciplined, corrected, or written up. And if there's going to be peace, everybody has to be in their position of authority. Now, you want to gut a company? You let envy begin to creep in. Why do they get to be the foreman? Why do they get to be in charge? You want to gut a church? You let us start being envious of the gifts that God has given to us, and you'll gut Plantation Baptist Church. Can't gut it in a business. Can't gut it in a church. When everybody understands their position of authority, everybody operates under their position of authority, then you have peace. And what did Paul say about this little church? And be at peace among yourselves. Listen, I don't know about you, but I thank God for the peace that exists at Plantation Baptist Church. And we have wonderful peace. We have wonderful peace because we're Bible people. We have wonderful peace because we have sensitive spirit to the Spirit of God. And we're teachable. And so may we always continue to be that way. And authority is not just in the church. It's in your life at home. It's so vitally important. And so this is what God had for us tonight. I'm excited. If you love God's word, say amen. Amen. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed.